Good evening, everyone. This is the WBAI Local Station Board's Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I am the Local Station Board Treasurer and therefore the Chair of this committee. And the first thing I need to do is to formally establish a quorum here. So if you've answered, we're going to ask you to answer again. When I call your name, please answer and, you know, say you're here. Okay, Adriana Kasanov.
Present.
Jack DePalma. Jim Dingman. Jim, you were here. Bruce Grief.
Here.
Okay, William Heerwagon. John Hoffman.
Present.
Noel Jameson.
Present.
Pat Logan. R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza.
Here.
Carolyn McIntyre. Daryl McPherson. Bertold Reimers. Doreen Roberts. Okay, who's this?
This is Matt. He was just here a minute ago.
But, he was here. Please don't answer for other people, though. Serene Roberts. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Neil Voss.
Here.
Michael D.D. White.
Here.
M.K. Williams. Okay. Dingman not answering the formal one. We still have 10. And so we still have a quorum. And so, let's see. And is Nancy Saibara Naratomi still here?
Saibara is
okay,
here.
You are now a member.
Thank you.
Okay, so now you're a member of the committee. All right. We have already established what the agenda is going to be, because when we voted to have this meeting, we said it would be purely about it would have two items, the budget and set next meeting date. So the agenda comes out to be call to order 7 p.m., two, general manager presents FY22 budget and committee discussion, 145 minutes. Three, set next meeting date, 5 minutes. Four, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. So, here we are. Bertold, are you with us here yet?
Yes.
Okay, there's Bertold. We'll mark you as here. And, okay, we went over the budget a bit the last time, and is there anybody who, hold on a second, I got to copy the item here. Jeffrey, would you keep time?
Yes, okay. So it's 1 hour and 45 minutes, right? From now?
145 minutes, which is, you know, almost 2.5 hours. It's 145 minutes. Well, I don't know what that is.
It's two hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, and I misspelled that. All right. Okay, so, Bertold, is there anything you want to tell us, in addition to what you did last time, about the budget? Have you made any changes in the last couple of weeks?
No, I didn't make any changes.
Okay.
It is the budget that I did send you. I just wanted to think that if I could emphasize some of the things that we talked about, a recap for like 5-10 minutes of what it is, and then maybe for you to re-ask the questions you asked so that people can have an idea.
go ahead. You want to recap it? Go ahead.
Yeah. So this budget, unfortunately, is a deficit budget. The budget is projecting $988,784 in fundraising, $3,000 a day, 365 days a week. And then we are projecting with $27,900 in corporate match, $18,500 a month, or $22,000 in BI Buddy, sustained donation, about $6,960 in interest income, and $57,000 major donor, not very aggressive, $72,000 in theater tickets, David Rottenberg, which is assuming $6,000 a month, which is about $1,500 a week, which is about right. Hello, plus or minus. Some week we have $3,000, some week we have $700. It averages around $1,500 a week. We are projecting car donation average of $26,000 for the year. We have overall average the car donation we've had so far, and it's about $2,100 per month. And for grants and bequests, we put it as low as could possibly be at $45,000. So that gives us a total revenue of $1.4 million. Our expenses, we're projecting $575,000 in salary, which is about $48,530 per month in payroll. Board expenses, very little. Admin expenses, $302,000. Programming expenses, $207,000. Development expenses, $296,000. And community event expenses, $32,000. So the way these are really broken down are basically I also created a consultant sheet so that we could go over what is supposed to be considered a consultant, which are really, people who have a contract with us. And then we're showing what we have gotten rid of. The morning show, the 6 a.m. morning show, we got rid of that because we were trying to cut costs, and then it was the least painful cut that we could do. We have the 7 a.m. morning show. We have one of the hosts that is not getting paid. So that created a nice cut. Our social media person, who was getting $3,000 a month, is gone. So that's a cut of nine. That's a cut of $36,000. And we are probably are going to be very selective in using people who help us pitch to raise money. We are working on that. I guess we can save about $20,000. I'm not sure on that. So we're going to see how that goes. So these are the kind of things that we did cut and then brought this budget to a deficit of $214,206. And plus capital expenditures, it comes to $240,005. I think that's basically it. You know, the same numbers I gave last time. I think I just wanted to highlight, the major source of revenue. The assumption is that we have reduced assumption for fundraising, we are assuming an average of 3,100 per day, as opposed to 3,000. Can someone, can you guys all mute? Someone is making a lot of noise.
Yeah, if why don't, how about everybody mute yourself for now while Bertold's talking?
Okay, so yeah, so we are assuming that we're making 3,100 a day as opposed to 3,250. So we're creating that about 150 a day, as well as the fund drive days. And so these are the major things in the budget. What we call consultants, you know, I know people like Robert just called the consultant. I wanted to go over the consultants, the so-called consultants, which some of them should really be employees. There's a cleaning person, you know, who cleans the space, $360 a month. I mean, you know, I don't think we can cut more on that. Then there's a volunteer who gets a metro card, $127 a month, coming to help us a lot at the station. That's $1,500. So the those two people added together comes to $487 a month, or $5,844 a month. So that's that. So now as far as program, that's administration, we consider that. As far as programming, we have of 4 morning show hosts that are making $500 a month each. So, you know, so that gives you, you know, that you get an idea. 4 morning show hosts at $500, $2,000 a month for a very solid morning show trip. And then you have the booker for Lope, which is another $2,000 a month. So that's $24,000 for the year. So this is basically it for our programming expenses as far as so-called consultants. It's a total of $56,000, about, plus or minus. For development, we have a webmaster who's making $2,500 a month, for a whopping total of $30,000 a year. I know in most places that they're spending over $150,000 or more a year on webmaster and all of that stuff. Our social media was $31,000 that is gone, removed. Constant contact newsletter, it goes up and down between $750 a month and $1,250. Since we no longer have our social media, this is becoming a challenge to keep the costs down. Sometimes I would skip a month, but it is really important for us to send, you know, dispatches, weekly dispatches to our listeners, highlighting shows that we suggest to them to listen to, so we keep them engaged. And asking them for money and stuff like that, plus the newsletter. So that comes to about, what, average of $750 or $1,000. That's maximum $12,000 a year. And, you know, and then our fund drive, the people we pay to pitch for us. You know, that's a high return on investment. You know, we spend $1,500 for a month, they bring in $12,000 of fund drive. Revenue or more. And then you have the board app. All of those board apps, they go on vacation. And so we substitute them by people who are making $17 an hour to cover for our board or union board app when they go on vacation. So in total, when you add all of these up, the Borat substitution comes to about $17,000 a year. The webmaster was $30,000. We removed the social media, so we went from $98,000 to $66,000. And then the programming, $56,000. And then the cleaning and stuff like that. So all consultants together right now is going to add up to $147,000, you know, after we made some of those cuts. And I think that is the budget. You know, I think that is all this is the meat of the budget. I think we should focus on talking about the revenue first, because that's rather easy, and then talk about the expenses, and talk about, you know, what we want to do with them. And I was thinking that part of the whole thing could be about the different initiative that management and everybody else is taking to try to raise money, to see how we could raise money, increase revenue. Because it's all about increasing revenue. There's not much to cut. I you know, that I showed some of the cuts. I'm sure, you know, more people want more cuts. And so we're going to have to figure out where those cuts are coming or where the revenue is going to come to make up for this deficit. Besides,
okay.
Bequest and, yeah.
Okay, Bertold, let me start this. You don't appear to have LSB election expenses in there. Is this an assumption, or have you heard something? I know we're not having them this year, but for FY23, maybe we'll have them. So my question is that a guess that we're not going to have them, or have you heard something? Bertold? Bertold, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. Yeah, I did. It was a pure guess. I did put expenses, but I just put $2,196. And it will probably be more like
$7,000. Yeah, okay. All right.
So the way I assume that there might be no election, since we have no money to pay bills or to make payroll. I don't know.
So you're making
an
assumption here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the surplus, the deficit you have at the end of the year is $240,000. And the monthly income statement for BAI for the months ending July 31st, that's the first 10 months of the year, shows us with a net loss of $297,000 already. So I don't know. Do you really think? I mean, that means you're thinking we're going to make like what, $50,000? We're going to have a surplus of $50,000 before October 1st, which is in days.
Well, I reduced. I got rid. Well, we no longer have a social media person, so that's $30,000 right there, right? I'm thinking of figuring out ways to reduce the pitch, the money we pay for people to pitch, by $20,000. I'm working on that, so that's $50,000 right there.
Right.
And also a morning show host that was 6 a.m. That was for the beginning of the year. That was cut. That I think that was another $15,000, because this year that was cut a mid-year. So that accounts for the $65,000 cut that's going to go next year.
All right. So The monthly income statement is showing basically before, because sometimes you mention central services is such a big hit on our expenses, leaving out central services, the income statement as of July 31st shows us about 86 grand in the red. So even without central services, there's a pretty substantial amount there. And that is a problem. So, you've got things in a slightly different order here.
Yeah, if you said 56 minus 55, it would still be 21,000 of position.
Okay, I didn't really catch that. Could you say that again?
Well, if you take that 86,000 deficit you are calculating, and then you take the 65,000 that cuts that we are applying to the new budget, we would still be in a bad position of 21,000.
All right. So, the bottom line here is you're projecting a deficit of 240 by the end of FY23. And I don't know, some of the, I mean, it looks like BAI Buddy is holding at 18.5 a month.
Yeah.
He's been holding at 18.5 a month for some years now. So I think that looks like what we can get from that area. So,
yeah.
I don't know, do you have any ideas of how to maybe get that up a little higher than that, or is that just basically that's what we're going to get?
I just sent a list of of BI buddies that we have a list of about 344 BI buddies who were buddies in April of 21 and are no longer buddies in February of 22. And when I talked to Didi Halleck, who herself was kicked off of the buddy list because her credit card she changed or she updated the termination date, she got kicked off the list for, you know, so I have sent 30 of these members to five different people, including me, that's six different people. We have a list of 30 people each we're calling to see if we can get them back to rejoin the BI buddy. And so there is still a significant amount, as I told you, it's 344 people, 343 people. That we no longer have on that list. So we're going to see what we can do with that.
Okay, so do you have any kind of projection for how, well, you're not going to get 343 back. Do you have any idea of how many of the 343 you might get back?
No. Just call them. If all six of us call these people and then we get a feeling of what we get out of the 180 we're calling, and that can be done within a week, basically. That can be done within a week or 2 weeks to find out where we stand with those people.
Okay.
But, I mean, if we get all of those people back in, that would be another $5,000 a month. But if we get half, it's $2,500. So we'll see. But,
okay.
You know, $2,500 in a month is still $25,000. But I project more than $20,000 more per year or another $2,000 from that list.
Okay. All right. Let me, I have to do a piece of business here. And, and make this announcement of While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. And so I'm asking now, is there anybody here who wants to become a member of the committee? If you don't want to become a member, you don't have to let us know who you are. If you want to become a member, though, you do need to let us know. Is there anybody here who wants to become a member and wants to say who they are? Okay, I don't hear anybody.
Paul.
Okay, yes. Hello?
Sorry.
There are two people. Yeah. There are two people saying hello to me right now. So, let me I hear Dingman.
Paul,
what?
Dingman,
why?
Arthur's legal opinion was rather clear. Nobody can be on a committee unless.
Can I jump in here? I just want to jump in before you move on to something else.
I'm gonna do the roll call again in a few seconds. Yes, Dingman added something on this.
Yeah, basically Arthur was pretty clear that nobody can be a member of a committee unless they're using their real identity. Period.
Yes. Okay.
No ambiguity.
We know. Thank you. Okay, and so Dingman is here. Let me ask some people who didn't answer up the first time. Is William Heerwagon here? Nope. Pat Logan isn't here. Carolyn McIntyre, you're here, right?
Yes, present.
Okay, Daryl McPherson, are you here? Is Serene Roberts here?
I am.
Is M.K. Williams here? No. Okay, well, we still have a quorum. All right, so back to that particular thing. All right. Does anybody else have any questions for the general manager on the FY23 draft budget?
Serene for the stack.
Okay, we'll do a stack. Serene Roberts, anybody else?
James Sagerton.
Sagerton, anybody else?
John Hoffman.
Okay, John Hoffman. Anyone else? Okay, we'll start with those three. Serene Roberts, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Berthold. I sent you an email from someone who's a buddy who said that their payment had been returned by the post office. Were you able to get a handle on what is happening there, saying that our mailing address has changed? Are we not using the station's address?
Yes, we're using 388 Atlantic Avenue. I do not understand why that would happen if it's the regular post office. I mean, if they're sending it by special mail or something, like FedEx, if they don't find anyone.
Nobody's gonna spend, you know, what, $18 or something to send us a check every month?
We do not. We send back any money, trust me.
They're saying it was sent back by the post office.
By the post office, 388 Atlantic Avenue. That would not make any sense to us. I mean, sometimes they put the mail on different on the wrong boxes, you know, because we have like, you know, VersaBook in the building, and then some other people write to the city. So I mean, sometimes they give us the wrong mail and I take it to those people, or maybe they just dumped it on the floor or something, and then the mailman took it back. But we are 388 Atlantic Avenue.
I know where we are. I'm saying, well, okay, so we'll follow up with that because
we'll
if it happens,
we'll pick up that check from them if they want to.
Excuse me?
I can go pick up the check from them if they want to, if they live in the city.
They're not in the city. I would have done that already if that would. But anyway, my point is, if it's happening to one person, it could be happening to more than one person. What have we figured out what it would cost to get the website, to get a website that we can use, or to get advertising on the website? There are organizations and businesses that would want to reach our listeners. How can we do that? Because I'm not at all keen on on-air advertising, but there's no reason why we can't use the website for advertisement.
So this is what I was trying to work out with the social media person. You know, so one, that's why we're trying to podcast. And then in the podcast, we would put the advertisement in the podcast as opposed to dealing with the website. I know for sure that the website is going to cost us a good, I'd say a maximum $20,000 if we get a lot of volunteer young kids and stuff like that to do it, and then and get some pro bono work. Last time I spoke to somebody on the West Coast who they connected to the Silicon Valley, they said they had access to some people that young folks, and then they think that it would cost about $20,000 max to totally upgrade. We do the website. We do the coding completely. Because our website is coded manually. In other words, it was a coder that coded it instead of using a regular general code that are used for the website. So therefore, you need somebody who is a coder who is going to write code, and then that makes things very difficult. So we need to get out of that. And so that's going to cost about $20,000 or less. How do you do this thing on online again? The GoFundMe.
Well, we could also probably get a grant or get a school to do it. You know, that's been suggested. A question about our web stream. For all Pacifica websites, you know, you just click on and you jump right into the show. There are other stations where they put a little ad before you can listen. Is there a reason we're not doing that?
I've not really noticed that. I mean, they put a little ad for money or ad promoting the station?
They put an advertisement from a third party, whether it's, you know, you want to go to NYU School of Business, you know, Stern will be happy to see you. Whatever the case is.
Oh, we can do that.
There are ways to advertise. There are ways to advertise that don't impinge upon the air.
We can do that.
Okay.
We can
I'll send you an email.
If we get the ads, we can definitely put them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sure of that, Bertel?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, basically what you do, you get the ad, and then you get Chris. If you're talking about the archives, you go back in the archives and then you upload a new show and then you cut it and then you put the ad for the show in the archives.
Oh, that's a different thing.
I'm talking about the live stream. Can Apple, why do you think maybe we can't do that?
It's to do it the way you're talking about would take a bit more coding and a sort of different approach to the way the website is. Our website is largely static, not entirely, but largely static, and you gotta fit things in with other things. I'll just put it that way. You have to fit stuff in with other stuff, and our website is kind of horse and buggy at this point. And
we have producers who can.
All right. So, can we go on with some other? Because we have two other people on the list.
Okay.
Here.
Let me ask my. shoot, I forgot my last question.
Okay.
I'll get back on the stack.
Yeah, you can get back.
Jim to
All
the
right,
stack,
next
please.
Person on the stack is James Sagerton.
Thank you,
James Sagerton? There you go.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Paul. Bertel, I have a couple of quick, small questions, and then I have a bigger question. So I hope you can, in your answer, you can treat them that way. You mentioned that we have the list of BAI, lapsed BAI buddies from this year. Do we have, or could we get, lists of previous years of lapsed BAI buddies? And with the use of allegiance, how are we coming on the separating out of major donors, you know, creating other lists of people who are frequent donors or major donors, so we could possibly focus on them as well?
Okay, so for the BI buddies, that's what I think I created. I mean, we can do anything we want. We can look at the buddy from when we just started them in our region and then look at the buddy list right now. You know, it takes a little while for a webmaster to do it, to run that report. And basically, I just ask him to give me both lists, and I do the comparison myself. And then we look at who is no longer a buddy. So we can do that. So that's why the list that I created and I sent to six individuals is a list from April 2021, eligible and not eligible in February 2022. We ran, obviously, at the end of February 2022 in March. So we can continue doing that. We can, you know, for the major donors, yeah, we do have the ability to do all of that. But the problem is we do not have that many major donors. All our major donors have been gone, which is one of the reasons why we're not raising as much money, even though we have as much listenership as most other stations. We don't have most of our major donors. We had done some initiatives way back with major donors that probably depleted our major donor list.
That's their fault. Nothing.
Okay. Yes, thank you. I hope we can do more work on targeting different groups and maybe going back even farther than allegiance to... you know, there had been suggested a mailing to our entire, you know, historic contact list. I don't know how easy it is to access that. But anyway, I appreciate your answers. And now to the bigger question that I have, which is, you know, last year we had a budget deficit that I think was over $300,000. And we got a budget passed through the National Finance Committee based on some optimistic projections, and now we're going to be coming back to them with a budget that has $240,000 of deficit in it. And in the interim, we've had the near total collapse of KPFK. We've had KPFT offline, unable to broadcast live. More recently, we've had WPFW having some issues. Temporary difficulties in making their payroll. So I'm just trying to lay out the background for a $240,000, nearly a quarter million dollars of a budget deficit for WBAI is probably not going to be acceptable to the rest of the network. So I'm wondering if it would make sense for us to hammer out here in our local committee what cuts we would like to see, and for to have you to have a major influence in that, rather than sending a huge deficit up to the NFC where other people will be deciding for us, you know, what's going to be cut and where and how. So any thoughts on that?
I'd like to open that to the whole committee, to tell you the truth. But my thoughts on that is, as I've said before, you know, I'm not being defiant, but it's very difficult to cut. I mean, I've been cutting for a long time. We've been very efficient. The frustration is that we're not getting any grants. $200,000 grant, $250,000 grant should be something that we would get normally. I was hoping that the network would be ready for CPB, which would cover our central service. So we're not there yet. The best that I think I can do at this time is to, we are a little short of that, is to not affect the network. In other words, you know, like this year we were short two health benefits. So the goal is to pay all our payroll and all health benefits, and then to strive to try to make a few central service payments at a minimum in next year. You know, we are reaching out to the mayor's office because they are advertising the city projects in all of the stations, and I don't see why they couldn't give us $250,000 or $500,000 to put ads on BAI to let people know how they should take the train to save energy and things like that. So we are pursuing that. Arthur Schwartz has a very good connection with the mayor, and I'm trying to be in the loop. So we have a contact. We're trying to get this thing going. New York City Department of Health has been in contact with us, Linda mostly, and me. We have a conversation, and then they finally want to have a talk with us, a phone call with us tomorrow. Then there's the City Council. The City Council, you know, as I told you before, I have the list, and then I'm not going to count on anyone, so I'm preparing the campaign outreach to the City Council. And also trying to figure out all the City Council members who had been interviewed on the radio. There are a bunch of them. That's a very difficult list to get. I'm getting all the people from the 5 o'clock trip to send me the list of all the City Council members that they have interviewed so that we can reach out to them for discretionary funds. You know, so that's the best I can do. This year, we were supposed to do a Gavin Hall event or two that was supposed to raise about $30,000 net, but that did not happen because there were some strict rules at the national office that couldn't spend certain money, and then so kind of we canceled that because, you know, I was supposed to spend $2,500 to reserve the place, and then we canceled that.
May I have a follow-up, Chair?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate all those, you know, optimistic thoughts, Bertold. And, you know, right now it just so happens that our financials are in the best condition that they've been in years and years, and that's good. But we're being told from the national office that applying for grants is not fruitful because of, you know, what our audit reports say and our overall financial condition, even though now we have audits done, what they say is not very good. So I hope we can work with the City of New York, who might have a soft spot for us, you know, due to our long history here in the city, and who did show up for us when we were shut down on the steps of City Hall. I hope we can count on that, but, you know, other grants may still be elusive, but certainly we should go all out and try and get them as much as possible. Also hoping that the executive director, who apparently has some, you know, some of her experiences in this area, possibly who could help us. But I, you know, just a suggestion, perhaps we should focus on the City of New York as possibly our best prospect, at least according to what we're hearing from attempts to get grants through the national office.
Yeah, I agree with that. And when I say grant, really, I mean, I listen to CPB passing, but when I say grant, I'm talking about $5,000 grant. I'm not talking about major grants, like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 grant. I'm talking about grants of $5,000 that companies might be willing to give us. Like, we did get $10,000 from Vision Zero. Things like that. that's what I hope we will be able to get. But I'd like to open this up for everybody else in here, to see if that, you know, if anything else that we have in suggestion, because I think it's about time we open that conversation about serious fundraising.
Bertold?
Mario.
We're all here, and why don't you let me run the meeting? We have a stack, and people can certainly pipe up and say what they need to say. And I will put myself on the stack, too, later on. Now, James Sagerton, are you done?
I am. Thank you.
Okay.
Paul?
Yes?
Mario Mastandrea.
Mario Mastandrea. Okay, hold on.
Or if you...
Okay, you're here, yes. Did you want to be on the stack, too?
Why not?
All right, hold on.
With sugar-free
maple
syrup.
Put me on the stack there, and you're there. And next is John Hoffman. So, John Hoffman, you're next on the stack.
Yeah, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes.
R. Paul? Yeah, put Neil Waltz on the stack, please.
Okay. Is there anybody else who wants to be in a stack? Okay, we'll leave it at that. And when we exhaust the stack, we'll do another stack. It's not like we're going to run out of time that fast. John Hoffman, go ahead.
All right. Good evening, Bertold. Bertold, I got a couple questions, I guess, around BAI buddies and the mechanism by which they're kind of being accounted for. So I think I'm a BAI buddy, and I also contribute monthly to the Pacifica Foundation, right? Pacifica Foundation uses ActBlue as the transactor, and I'm going to guess WBAI is using We Did It as the transactor. And there's differences. There's two major differences. One, I get an acknowledgement from the Pacifica Foundation every month when my contribution goes through. And two, when my credit card is about to expire using ActBlue, I get notices, I don't know, every couple hours telling me that my transaction isn't going to process because my credit card's going to expire. I don't get those two things from WBAI. So would you be able to kind of discuss that, or do you just want to take that as a question?
I will answer you very quickly. When we switched a system to go into Allegiance, and we did it, these are some of the perks that we thought that were going to happen. I definitely have my webmaster be in a meeting with you to discuss and explain how that works and how that doesn't work. My understanding is that they're supposed to get a lot. Members are supposed to get prompts that their credit card is not working, or is expiring. And also, I do believe that we can run that report and send a reminder to them regularly. So we may have dropped the ball there. I will follow up with my webmaster again. I understood that this was something that was supposed to be done automatically, but we did it, and then we didn't really have to do the mailing, but maybe we have to.
Okay, perfect. And then just one other note. So from the budget point of view, if every year there's a degradation of the number of BAI buddies, should the budget be the same year after year? Or if you now have a list of the actual BAI buddies, could you come up with what that accurate monthly total is today?
Oh, no, the monthly total is $18,000. The monthly total for BI Buddy, the exact total for BI Buddy, is about, well, not $18,000, but I haven't had those numbers updated since June, but from January... Oh, January was 14,400. That was a fluke. In February was 22,000 because some of the January thousands, there was an issue we're updating. So if you take those two together, 14 and 22, January and February, then you'll see you get an average of 18,400 in March, 19,000 in April, 16,900 in May, and 19,200 in June. So it averages $18 a travel. It goes up and down. But I, you know, what we were saying that it could maybe go higher if we just keep up with all the people who are disenrolled. I didn't know they are disenrolled. It could be another two. I would not project more than 2,500 more per month. John?
Okay. John, you're done?
John, you are on mute.
Okay, I don't hear him, so we're going to continue moving on here. And the next person on the stack is me. Yes. So basically with the buddies, we've kind of reached an equilibrium, and all of this pitching we do on the air for BAI buddies basically fills in what's dropping off, I guess. Because you've been saying for years that it's about 18 or so. So all of the pitching is basically to help us to stand still in terms of buddies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any way around that. The other thing I want to note is, yes, a lot of people talk about cuts. And the thing is, you got to look at the stations, and each station is different. And, for instance, KPFA and KPFK have relatively huge head counts, whereas BAI is, what, 7.5 or something? And so cutting in the personnel area at BAI is, we've already done that. We did that in 2013. Where 75% of the staff was gone. So I think in order to improve things at BAI, it's been obvious to me for quite a while that the thing that we have to think about is generating more revenue somehow. So I think revenue generation is more important than trying to figure out how to cut. And I hope that when they come to you, if people are still of a mindset of cutting because they've been to other stations where there's a lot to cut, quite frankly, I hope you will then point out to them, you know, as forcefully as is useful, that the real thing to do for BAI is figuring out how to generate more revenue, because otherwise, it ain't going to work out. We can't cut our way to breaking even. You need to have some people working there, and we're about as close to the minimum as you can get. I mean, there's no coverage at all between midnight and 6 a.m., and, people are... I mean, management is doing a whole bunch of jobs that really could be... done by paid staff if, in fact, we had the money for it. So, yeah, I think the thing BAI needs to look at mostly is more revenue. And that's what I have to say there. Any response to that, Bertolt?
Well, I agree with you 100%, except that, you know, we're in a situation because of the situation of the network. You know, people are desperate looking everywhere. And then we have not proven that we have been able to raise more money. I mean, it's been steady, you know. And so, you know, people are looking at us. You know, I think the solution is grants, small grants, like 10 small grants, things like that. Or the solution is really pushing to reach out to the city of New York. As I said, the mayor's office, the Department of Health, like we will talk to them tomorrow, or, you know, the city council members. If we get 20 of them, give us $10,000 each, that would be $200,000. On doing discretionary funds. If we reach out to 50, 60 of them regularly, and then we have them on the air, hopefully that will generate that kind of interest. Even if they give us 5,000, I mean, that's like 100,000 we could get from them. So for me, that is part of the solution until we can get the PPP grant. It's a small grant. We have done a lot of cuts, and we have done a lot of things that is borderline, you know, of trying to, you know, spend as the least amount of money in operations as possible. You know, we have expanded in trying to have a strip show on the Leonard Lopez show, for example. The same thing with the 5 p.m. And then the 7 a.m. Those things are generating listeners, but we have not been able to turn them around to generate double or triple the money that we could get from them. And so that's that we need to focus on. How do we get the strip shows to generate more income? How do we get the small grants? And that would do it. You know, I mean, we have bequests. We have two bequests sitting here, you know, but you never know. You know, one of them could be $2,000 or $200,000. So, you know, you can't count on that.
Okay.
I mean, last year we had a $280,000 bequest and another $500,000+ of that same bequest that went to the national office. But we cannot, you know, I mean, we've had two bequests of about $3,000 each this year. So that is the difference.
Okay. Next is Mario. Mario, oh, wait a minute. It's 8 o'clock. Let me read this thing again. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. Is there anybody here who wants to become a member and wants to tell us their name right now?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, who's this?
This is Ali Murphy, A-L-E, and the last name is Murphy. I was at the meeting, the last meeting that you had.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Were you at a meeting of this committee on in March? Because we have an Alejandrina Murphy. Was that you?
Yes, that's me. But
okay. I changed the spreadsheet.
Okay.
And it's the first name is A L E, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got it.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else?
Our Paul, yes. I had asked to be on the stack quite a while ago. Anyway, this is Jim.
Well, let's see if... I'll put you on here after Neil Voss, okay?
All right.
Mario, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. One question before a suggestion and comment. If the situation at the network is you can't get grants, is this just governmental grants? If the so-called accounting and paperwork is not up to date and complete to get grants, can you still get small grants? That's a question, and then I got a comment.
I believe we can. I mean, I believe there are different criteria for grants. I mean, we have someone looking for grants right now, you know, to tell you the truth. We just got denied, and we are talking to them about different angles and avenues. You know, this is somebody used to get grants for us in the past. And then... But I believe we can get small grants. You know, like, you know, the criteria is getting $5,000 grant. You know, I mean, they don't need you to be so, like, 100% solvent, $5,000, you know, things like that, I believe. And I believe that is also something that we should pursue. You know, now for the CPB grant, what I know is that there was a list of things that we needed to do to be compliant. And the network has not done that. And so that's why we didn't apply for the CPB grant this year. However, you know, I'm yet to see the list. I think that this should be shared by all the general managers, and then the committee that deals with CPB should have all the general managers in it so that we can participate and collaborate in getting these things done. I personally believe WBI is more like 90% compliant as far as meetings, notices, and all that stuff. I think we're probably borderline compliant with listenership, with the three strips that we added, plus the online listenership that we are recording through CPB. I know that our CAD is pretty close to being compliant. There might be a few things to tweak. So, so these are the things. Basically, a bunch of this thing is a notice, meeting notice, and a minute written, and then the committees are functioning. And so I think we are doing that at BAI. So I'd like to be able to participate and help the rest of the network and everybody else do that so that we can see if we can qualify for CPB.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Looking at the station and the network from a very basic business standpoint, what does the network do? What are they? Well, they're a radio station that requires listeners. And the listeners are so-called customers. They don't necessarily have to pay you, but you got to get more listeners because that's what you're supposed to be doing. To keep it at a very simple, basic, if you deviate from that, then you are not what you are supposed to be. Hence, you know, a pigeon is a pigeon. A pigeon flies. Then you're something else. So the questions were a few minutes ago, how are we going to increase revenue? Let's get more grants. That would be like if I sell cars, I just go get grants to buy more cars, but I'm not selling any cars. So I'm kind of doing some movement. I'm generating movement and some interest and some appeal, but I'm not selling. So it gets back to, again, follow your bylaws. Keep it simple, because that's how you stay away from the politics. Or, no, you're getting more favoritism than the next group. You follow the bylaws to a T, and everybody at the station becomes a salesman. And you have to sell the station and increase your listenership. If you go get grants, you know, like I said this before, somebody could bequeath BAI $1 million a year for the next 20 years. If your listenership still goes down, how are you relevant? What are you doing? It's like the emperor with no clothes. It's like nobody to lead. So, I mean, the second part of getting listeners is that you want to be relevant and make a difference, right? That's what everybody thinks they're doing on the air. I'm making a difference in what I do. Look how smart I am. I'm making a difference out there. And we're not doing neither. I think the community is more divided, not making a difference. I mean, you got to sell. You got to go out and get listeners. That's the focus. And a lot of that doesn't cost money. It just takes coordination and time and commitment and volunteering at first. So it goes back to, I'm sorry to point out the basic, you need listeners. That's what you are. That's what a radio station is, and you want listeners. What do you do?
So I'd like to answer you very quickly, and then after that, go more into detail. I have a good friend of mine. Went to college together. His name is Billy Dorella,
and he was managing Black Eyed Peas and John Legend. He's retired now at 58 years old. So, you know, talking about the, you know, went for dinner with him. And then, so, you know, I didn't want to push myself. And then, so he talked about the a little bit. And then he looked at me, and then as if he was interested, and he says, so what's your marketing budget? Okay. So what you are saying right now about it doesn't take that much money is totally nonsense. You know, anybody you talk to about anything like that, it's like, what is your marketing budget? I looked at him and I changed the conversation because I could not tell him that a marketing budget is zero. Okay. So that is the problem Pacific faces. We are the
I don't agree.
Well, let me finish. You know, I was having you talk.
Okay.
You know, and
I have one more thing to say, but go ahead.
Somebody who was managing John Legend and Black Eyed Peas. John Legend, when he was not that famous, he had another name. And so we have a phone card ready now, but I don't believe these are really effective ways of reaching out to listeners. I've been listening to other radio stations throughout the New York metropolitan area, and it's a matter of taste. I listen to ESPN, the sports channel. I listen to FNU, NYC. They don't have anything on us, nothing. Maybe I'm extremely biased. I cannot be that extremely biased and that blind. You know, so they don't have that much on us. I mean, like, there's a lot of silliness going on in those stations. There's a lot of advertising and a lot of nonsense. So we do have the programming, I believe. We have done a pretty good job in that, a pretty good job lining up the programming. Yes, we need to market this. We need to market this. But are people really interested in our message? A message of free speech and human rights and stuff like that. That's a question to be asked. That's a legitimate question to be asked. We never had that much more listenership than most of the commercial stations that always had junk on them. So until we market, until we get to buy with money the list of progressive organizations to send them and to market to them and to reach out to them, to get them to support us, especially if they're not listening, we cannot talk about marketing and outreach. We can do things.
Okay, thank you. Listen, the Black Eyed Peas and other radio stations have a system and they have accountability, and they don't have pretty much a local station board. There's too much division.
One member of this meeting, our Paul.
All right.
Can you please break
some
order and
report?
Right.
Mr. Chair, I just want to answer.
Okay, everybody come to order.
Just want to answer Bertold. It'll take me 15 seconds. You talk about marketing
seconds.
And budget and it costs money. One of the major suggestions I want to give you is what worked in the past, and this doesn't cost money. It just requires to do it. There needs to be three people or more in the pitching because that's what you worked in the past. There was always a triad or more. So two people, one person or two people, it's not as good as a triad or more pitching. That needs to be implemented immediately because that's what worked in the heyday. There was always three people or more. Okay? So this is what I'm talking about. Do you have the will to do that? No. We need a marketing person. That can't work. That's free.
15 seconds are up.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. Right now, the stack is Neil Voss and Jim Dingman. After Jim Dingman, we'll do another stack, and then I got to do another thing here in terms of membership.
Our Paul.